coming up next. Stay with us after that for Surfabilly Freakout at 6, Freeform Music at 7, Roots Rock Reggae at 8, and Get In Your Jammies at 10. And I'd just like to let you know that your usual host for See You at the Show, Eric Schott, is not in studio tonight. He asked me to replay last week's show, which is a best of or a year end look back at the Champaign-Urbana Theater community. So that's what we're going to do. So basically, I'm letting you know that this is a pre-recorded program, an encore presentation of last week's See You at the Show. Eric should be back with us next week. Thank you again for listening to WEFT Champaign. And we're going to get right to that encore presentation of See You at the Show now.
This is Eric Schott. I am here with Linda Evans. How are you doing, Linda?
Great. Just kind of coming off the holiday stuff.
Yeah. So, well, Merry Late Christmas to you.
Yeah. Happy Hanukkah to everybody and everything else. Yeah. Solstice and everything.
Yeah. And it is a, we're heading in towards the new year, and it's great to be in the studio after all of the kind of the hecticness of the holidays, and to this is kind of a reflection back on the year in theater. We've each got in front of us a list that I made of all of the shows that have happened in community theater in Champaign-Urbana in 2019, and it's pretty amazing to look back on it, and also just to think about what the this radio program, which started in 2019, so this is the first year that we're kind of winding down. We had 38 shows this year, and it's just still it feels like a learning process every time I come in here. And I think, you know, you and I, we should start talking, and then suddenly it's like 2 minutes we're going on. How are we going to do this? And so, but it always seems easy to talk theater and to celebrate theater, and that's what this show is about, and that's what we've been trying to do.
Yeah, it's amazing when you look at it all on one page, how much theater there is in this town. And this is just community theater, not even counting the high schools and things like that. It's a lot to celebrate.
Right. And so over those 38 shows, I think we featured each one of these. Let's see. A couple of the shows, Lockerbie, Lost in Yonkers, and Our Town, I think were the three, and Broadway Backwards were the four, I guess, that kind of all had their runs before the show really had footing. But all the rest of them we did, and there were probably three or four shows outside of the Champaign-Urbana area that we branched out to. We featured and reviewed a Monticello Theater Association show and a couple in Danville and one in Decatur. And then there, you're right, there are all the high school shows. And the high schools were especially kind of fun to cover because they did musicals more frequently than the community theater shows. I think that was one thing when I look back on this, is there were only three. There was Young Frankenstein by Parkland. There was The Last 5 Years at the Station. And then there was Wizard of Oz by CUTC.
Musicals are big. They bring people in, which is why I think all the high schools do at least one a year. You always get a big crowd for your musical, but they also are a lot of work and a lot of money usually. So, yeah, it's a lot to do.
So you've stage managed both musical. Have you stage managed musicals?
Have I stage managed? I have not. I mean, Farinelli and the King had music, but it wasn't a musical. So not, no. Not
right.
Since I've been.
I mean, that's a tough one to categorize because one of the things we're going to talk about today is the exciting to me anyway, idea of the See You at the Show Globes, which is going to be, our show is going to sponsor and kind of like put on a celebration of theater in 2019 in the form of a of a gathering, of a celebration, to try to hopefully bring as many people in the theater community as we can under one roof to do exactly what we're doing in the show, but kind of do it in the form of a, I don't know, like a Golden Globe show or like an award show where we have performances. I envision there being some performers who performed, I guess, mostly music, and there's a way to do other segments of shows. I don't think there really is. So some of the musical performances that were so outstanding in 2019, and then I'm also hoping I could maybe weasel a couple of the Chicago and Falsettos people into giving us a preview of what's coming up, because one thing that from coming out of that audition mayhem week a couple weeks ago, it really, you could feel as being part of that audition process and just talking to the people involved, like there is excitement about musicals.
Yes, yeah.
And I do understand what you said, and maybe that would be interesting to do as a show, to bring in directors that have done both straight plays and musicals and talk about what makes one more complicated or more daunting or more exciting mm-hmm. to do than another. Because I think when you look at over 70 people auditioning for Chicago, that is different than the number of people that were auditioning for plays.
Right. It's interesting because there's some people who just do musicals. There are some actors that prefer to do musicals, or even David Heckman, who's been in a lot of shows in town. When he was in The Trestle at Poplar Creek at the station, he said that was one of the few straight plays that wasn't a musical that he had been a part of. And
really?
Yeah, I know. I was shocked because he's been acting for so long. And then there's people who, you know, don't audition for musicals because they feel uncomfortable with that. So it gets different people sometimes out to audition. And there's a lot of people who don't like to go to straight plays that will go to musicals. So it's a different beast, really.
Right. And I think that musicals normally have had 3-week runs also. And
yes.
I don't know if that is because of the amount of preparation time that goes into them that... that kind of almost requires it in some ways, but everything at the station is 3 weeks. So last 5 years was 3 weeks. I guess that Wizard of Oz was not. I mean, that was a short run. I don't even know if that was more than one weekend. I think, in fact, that was just 4 or 5 shows over one single weekend.
You're right. That was a really short one, yeah.
And then Young Frankenstein at Parkland, that's the one Parkland show that does extend into 3 weeks every year.
And I think musicals tend to be like a much bigger cast too. So that's why you get more people auditioning. They think they probably have a better shot because you can actually have quite a few people in a musical that don't have solos, but you know, they're dancers. And I think that's another reason why schools like to do musicals, because you can get so many more people in
right.
the cast. So
I had a chance to, we're going to pretend I had a chance to sit down with one of the actors from the 2015 Broadway musical Something Rotten, Brad Oscar. And I kind of decided to engage with him about, you know, what the hell are musicals, Brad?
It'll be a play where the dialogue stops and the plot is conveyed through song.
Yeah. Through song?
Yeah.
Wait, so an actor is saying his lines and out of nowhere he just starts singing?
Yes.
Well, that is the stupidest thing that I've ever heard. I mean, what could the audience think other than that this is just going to be a complete disaster?
Remarkably, they won't think that.
Seriously? Why not?
Because it's a musical, a musical, and nothing's as amazing as a musical.
Seriously?
With song and dance.
Okay.
And sweet romance, and happy endings happening by happenstance. Bright lights, stage fights, and a dazzling chorus. You want to be great, then you got to create a musical.
I don't know. I find it hard to believe that people would actually pay to see something like you're describing.
Let's just say it's a Saturday night and you want to go out on the town.
Okay.
You could go see a drama with all of that trauma and pain.
Yeah, you got a point.
Or go see something more relaxing and less taxing on the brain.
Like what?
Go see a musical.
Okay.
A musical. A puppy piece releasing all your bluesicles. Where crooners croon a catchy tune. And limber leggy ladies thrill you till you swoon. Oozahs, big applause, and a standing ovation. The future is bright if you could just write a musical.
Are there like different kinds of musicals?
Some make you happy, some make you sad. Some are quite big, some quite small. Some are too long, some are just plays the song. Some musicals have no talking at all.
Wait a minute, no talking at all?
That's right, there's no talking. All of the dialogue is sung in a very dramatic fashion.
Really?
Yes, really.
There's no talking.
There's no talking. And they often stay on one note for a very long time, so that when they change to a different note, you notice. And it's supposed to create a dramatic effect, but mostly you just sit there asking yourself, why aren't they talking?
Oh, that sounds miserable.
I believe it's pronounced miserable.
And people actually like this.
Oh, they love it! And what's not to love?
A musical! A musical!
Okay, well now I kind of get it. That was really
that
instructive
was yeah.
to see like why one would choose a musical other than the heavy drama of a play.
And they're catchy. A lot of times people know those songs, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean that was one of the cool things about the last 5 years for me, which is something mm-hmm. that was a musical that I'd never heard of. There are musicals, a lot of musicals that happen that I've never seen. Like I've never seen falsettos and wasn't even that familiar with the music really until I started getting ready to think about auditioning for it. But the last 5 years was something I'd never heard about. And then when I talked to the actors involved, just like Brian Good in particular, it said that he has just been obsessed with this and obsessed with sometime getting a chance to perform in it. And let's just hear this. I have a little clip of David French and Jenna Cohn from the last 5 years. This is a song, a segment of a song called The Last 5 Minutes, and I just wanted to highlight some of our guests who were also some of our stars in musicals in 2019. There's David.
Share your life with me for the next 10 minutes. For the next 10 minutes, we can handle that. We can watch the waves, we can watch the sky, or just sit and wait as the time takes flight. And if we wait until then, can I ask you again for another 10?
Produce the last 5 years?
No, I didn't. That was one of the few ones that I wasn't intentionally a part of. My oldest son ran the sound for the last 5 years.
Okay, yeah, this was in August at the station, directed by Chelsea Collier. Let's listen a couple more minutes.
Seem like
not totally doing it justice. That was from picked up from a camera at the last dress rehearsal, and it still sounds amazing.
Yeah,
and David's voice really came through. I think that format even especially good, and it's just the talent that we have in this community. And I think with the station this year, I brought in maybe some new people. I think new actors from the U of I, as and that was, I think David is one, and in Treslip Hope Lick Creek, Saskia Bakker directed, and Kate Blakesley and Gabe Halstead were two people that hadn't done community theater before, and they were both tremendous.
Yeah.
But musicals in particular, I think that's just what I was talking about, and the talent is crazy. And I think that's one of the reasons that I feel that we should come together and celebrate, because there's so much to celebrate. There's so much amazing talent, and I guess that's kind of how I got the idea to do, to have what am I calling it? I'm calling it a, well, I don't know. See you at the Show Globes.
Right.
The Globes.
Which is really cute. I like the idea behind it. So how do you take this huge list of shows and decide like which ones? Because, you know, I'm kind of like, I give everybody a prize kind of thing. So like, it's so hard to like whittle it down to different, you know, categories. And how do you do that?
Like, yeah, well, that's definitely the, I don't know if I'm trying not to think of it as a risk. I'm trying to think of it as, that's one of the complexities, I guess, right. I'll say, with trying to do it. And I think that if you listen to the show regularly, or if you read the reviews and our Facebook descriptions and promotions, it's just all, there's just kind of really emphasizing the positives and the greatness that exists in community theater here. And so to say, okay, we're identifying or trying to identify the greatest of the great, that is definitely hard. And I if this is going to be any sort of a success, it's got to come off that way, as though it's not diminishing anybody else's performances. And I think that's just the only thing that I kind of worry about. So I don't know how to, that's definitely a struggle. I'm looking at 19 shows. I enjoyed every one of them. I saw every one of them. And so there's 140 actors, and trying to say, okay, there are going to be awards,
right? There's 140 unique actors.
Yeah.
Because there's overlap.
Yeah, well, yes, that doesn't count Lincoln Six,
right,
for instance.
Right, exactly. I was just looking at him. I'm like, wow, he was in six
Lincoln,
different shows.
Congratulations, you appeared in the most.
Yeah, it looks like it.
And so, one of the cool things to look at this list, and the way I have it set up both chronologically by company, is just to see when there are people like Lincoln who performed with, he performed at the station, he performed in a CET show, and actually two CETC shows. He was in Wizard of Oz, he was in Our Town, and then he was also in Peter and the Starcatcher at Parkland. Oh, and he was in Elephant Graveyard at Parkland. So not only did he appear in six, but he appeared in two at every place. And there are other people like that, like Parker, your son, he was in shows with at the station and at Parkland, and I don't think he did. Yep, there he is, CTC.
Oh, you're right. I was like, I don't think he's done a CTC, but he.
So
he
I think
was.
So. The challenge then for 2020 for somebody is going to hit all four, and so Twin City Theater Company, in addition to CTC, Parkland, and the station, and so. I guess I'm still trying to do a weird long answer of your question. but we've kind of got a little a committee, which I tried to, you know, only include people on it who I know have seen all or most of the shows. I think that's one of the challenges, and one of the things that I hope to learn from, to if this continues, if it's enough of a success to do it again, I will definitely learn from all of the mistakes that are made, but also hopefully have more people and using their feedback to think, are these really the best 15 categories? Because that's what we've got.
Yeah.
And then,
and what we like might not be the same thing. You know, other people might have their own choices, and like, I'd like to hear back from them too. Like,
absolutely.
You know, if you had a favorite and you, or a, an actor or actress that really stood out in your head, like we want to hear from you too. There's just so much to celebrate, and so many people think that 140 people gave up their time and they, you know, neglected their businesses, their families and things like that to, because it's so time consuming to do a show and for free.
Well, and for every actor, there's at least that many people who are also committing themselves to the show in, obviously there's the biggies, there's the director and often an assistant director, stage manager and producer, I think. And but then there's beyond that, then there's all the technical people.
Right.
And
someone with has to run the lights, the sound, the, you know, yeah. Everything. Yeah.
And I guess one of the things is that for the musicals, at least the musicals that happened in 2019 and that are going to happen that I know of in 2020, it's all live music. So no one's just importing a soundtrack. So that, again, that's not just an expense, but it's a complexity of rehearsal. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I think that you... accept certain risks with sound, especially when you try something at the station. Where do you, you can't overpower it. We've had musicians in the lobby. We've had musicians in the heart of the stage. We've had them backstage, stage left, and so it's that is just a whole other element. And maybe that speaks a little bit to why when somebody decides to take on a project, musicals is quite an ambitious one.
Right. Especially, I feel like at a small theater, like the Station Theater in Urbana, it's such a small space anyway. So to add musicians into the mix is quite challenging. But then you go to the Virginia, where the Wizard of Oz was, and that's, they're much more set up for musicals, but then it's also a huge space. And then you got to fill that up with a set and people. And so directing a musical or stage managed a musical that's going to be at the station versus one that's going to be at the Virginia or even Parkland, they're different. They're all different. And there's a lot to think of. And one more thing to go wrong. When you add music in, there's always, you know, we're all human and we all make mistakes. So it's just one more thing. And it's amazing that they all did really well. I mean, all the musicals did really well. And there's just so many people that you don't even think about that are behind the scenes doing it.
Right. And there's going to be endless topics for us to cover on this show. Cause just even talking about that, I'm talking about, what goes into making a show. There are so much, unexplored elements of theater that we haven't touched on even in all these 38 shows. And we've had directors on, we've had actors, we've had high school performers. We even had, there was one show for the youth production where we, the third through fifth graders of Music Man, which was fantastic. And we've talked about auditioning processes. And so we've tried to be broad, and we've tried to be a umbrella over all of the theatrical groups. And maybe that is what most excites me about the idea of having as many people as can make it or are interested coming together under one roof to celebrate not just the best shows at the station, not just the best shows at Parkland or CTC, but everybody. And because there were definitely performances at all three of the company, or all four of the companies, that are worthy of praise. And I don't know, I keep using the word celebration. And I would love it if people were even comfortable enough like to come up and talk and say something about their performance and something about the people that helped them be so successful in a little bit of like the classic format of an awards show, but not necessarily for ego, but for for sharing and, right. and hearing and getting to know people better and getting to know what it took and what part of somebody's team was to make something successful, whether it's a director or a performer.
And it's a way to get to know each other too. I mean, hopefully enough people will come. It's really fun to be able to talk to different people who were involved in different shows than you were, and like ask them about things that happened, you know, behind the scenes or how they got ready for something, and kind of do some networking. I know we've started with the station every 3 months or so. We get a group together from the last 3 months of shows, and it's been so much fun. We don't get to see each other because we're involved in our own shows, and to be able to talk to the people from the other shows and network and come together and just talk theater. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it really is. And so we're going to do this Globes, the See You at the Show Globes we've come up with a date, which is January 12th. There's never going to be a perfect date for theater people.
You just have to go. We just had to.
And yeah. It's going to celebrate 2019. The actual Golden Globes are 1 week before. So there's kind of the, hopefully there will be the mood and the spirit of everybody coming together. I just put out the announcement on Facebook about it today in the form of an event. So look at the See You at the Show Facebook page. Sign up and let me know that you're interested, because we're thinking of the appropriate venue. I want to have a venue that will definitely house enough people where we can have some drinks and have some food, and also where there's a decent performance space and a decent speaking space, so we can hear from people, whether it's with their talent or with their words. And I don't know if it goes as beautifully as I imagine or as I fantasize, then there will actually be people coming up and saying like, okay, we're going to award this director. And then the person who is actually maybe presenting it has something to say about what it takes to be a great director. Because that's something I don't know. I don't know that, and I want to learn more about that.
Right.
But there are people who have things to say, and that's why there are multiple mics in here, and why this show is not just you and me talking at people, because we want to give a voice to people, and theater people should like to talk. So, although we're an incredibly introverted group when it comes right down to it, frankly, in most cases, until the lights go on and the curtain draws.
Right. It's interesting because, some people don't like to talk without a script. So, yeah. But if you want to come on the show, if you've been in one of these shows and you have something to talk about, or, you know, let us know. We ask people all the time, but, you know, maybe we don't. We usually ask people we know, and we don't know every 140 people maybe that have been in shows lately.
Yeah, and maybe there needs to be, and so this is, again, we're asking for feedback about how to get feedback now, but we do have, ways of contacting us through the seeyouattheshow.com, through See You at the Show Facebook page. I'm Eric Schacht. You can find me a million different ways through social media, and just, I don't know, you can just find me, I guess. But stay tuned we're going to put out the list of nominees this week. It's exciting. Everybody, all 140 of you that were in the show, you were fantastic. And I hope that in terms of trying to find a way to celebrate people, we don't make anybody feel like they were anything less than amazing in what they did. So we have Surfability Freakout coming up next. But Linda, it's been another great show. Thank you for joining
me. Thanks for having me.
And our last show of 2019, I will send us out with James Hevel singing Handel from Farinelli and the King. This is a show that was confusing for me, because James deserves to be considered for musical award, but he was in a play. So, what do I do?
Yeah, we'll have to do something.
All right, so
he's amazing.
So for now, here's James. Enjoy this incredible male soprano talent from his performance at the station.
You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This has been the WEFT Courier for Thursday. Join us.